And again, like I said, we're starting a new series, Great Verses of the Bible. And I've got a list of probably 100 of them already. And yet, if you'd like to study one, like for us to do it in Sunday school, just give it to me. And I'll go study it out, take a couple of weeks, and then we'll have it in here and we'll study it together. So keep that in mind if you would. Now, today is Daniel chapter 6. I want you to notice, if you would, Daniel chapter 6. And this is sort of a well-known verse, but I don't think we reference it very much in our lives. Notice Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 1. Now, Daniel, do you remember Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because the people he worked with were jealous of him? That's the reason. I mean, a lot of people think that maybe Daniel was being persecuted. Well, he was. But it was just a few people that were trying to get rid of Daniel. And it was because they were jealous of him. Now, we all face things like that at work. Maybe there's some people jealous of the fact that we work hard or we come in early or we're very flexible or we have a pleasant spirit or there's something about us they get jealous of. Well, notice, if you would, Daniel chapter number 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Now, 120 princes, if you would picture, it's like that 120 states. Like America's got 50 states. Well, around the world, they have like 120 different countries and states. So he put a prince over this country or this city, large area. So each one of them was responsible for the taxes for him to collect for that period of time, that year. So notice, and the verse number 2, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first. So you got 120, then you got 3, and then you got 1. And so the King Darius was very organized, very detailed. But notice, if you would, verse 2, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first. And anytime you're first, there's jealousy. So you have to remember that. As the Lord blesses you and the Lord gives you more because you're faithful, there are people to be jealous, whether it be family members. Why does he get that? Work people at work, why did they get that promotion? Why did they get that? So notice, if you would, that the princes might give accounts unto them. Okay? So the 120 princes would give accounts to these three men. And then these three men would give an account to Daniel. So notice what it was. And the king should have no damage. And by that he means that the king would have none of those 120 provinces that didn't pay their taxes. That as each one was levied a certain amount. And if you'll remember back through the Old Testament, the king of Babylon or the king of Persia or the king of wherever it might be, would come in and raid the country and burn the country, and then they would set a tax rate of 100 shekels of silver for the people that were left. So these princes were responsible for collecting that money that had been assigned to the various countries or the various, what they called states, 120 provinces. And you'll notice, if you would, verse number 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. So you got 120 princes, 3 presidents, and then Daniel is above that. But you'll notice, if you would, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, the king wanted to make Daniel prime minister, so that he didn't have to worry about a thing. Daniel would run the country. He would just be the king and be able to party and do the things he wanted to do and not have any real responsibility, because Daniel would take care of things. Well, notice, if you would, in verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. It's all 123 of them. They were jealous of Daniel. Now, I can guarantee you there were some of those princes that looked up to Daniel, but because everybody complained about Daniel and the fact that he was probably, remember, at one point in time, he was a slave, Daniel was. Remember, at one point in time, he was captured from Israel and brought in, and he was one of the wise men. So he rose from the very lowest part, a captive, to prime minister. And they were jealous of that rise. They were jealous of how far he had gone up. Now, why did he go up? Because there was this Joseph kind of spirit in him that you'll find it in all the men that got promoted. And that's what I wanted to share with you today. All the men that had influence, all the women that had influence. What was it about Ruth that changed Naomi? Can anybody tell me? What was it about Ruth? It was that excellent spirit. It was that positive spirit. It was that sweet spirit. Now, I think Ruth probably had one of the most difficult jobs on earth. To take care of her mother-in-law that was bitter at God, bitter at the world. And bitterness ruins everything good in the heart of man. You can't see clearly. You can't see the blessings of God. And so Ruth has a job of taking care of her and her mother-in-law in a foreign land and being good to her mother-in-law and being happy. Well, that's a challenge. Well, then you got Daniel. He apparently, when raiders would come into a country and take captives, they would usually kill off the leaders and leave the poorest of the land. Well, we know that Daniel's parents were well off, so all of a sudden, Daniel's parents are probably dead, and he's taken captive. And so he is now in this group of men that are called wise men because he was one of the kids being educated in the highest of schools. And so they looked at him and said, you know, he was a slave. What's he doing over us? But there was this indomitable spirit. Now, folks, today, I want to talk to you about that spirit. Okay? All of us, we can have spirit A. We can just see everything as what's best for us. A little bit selfish. Things aren't always good. You see the glass a quarter full. They're hard to be around. Then you get people that are, they're sort of positive and negative, but they easily fall into complaints. Okay. Then you got people over here that are positive, that are excellent spirit. Nothing changes their spirit. That doesn't mean they don't see the difficulties of life. They do. It doesn't mean they don't see that this person is not doing a good job. Don't you know that among 120 princes, somebody didn't do a good job? Don't you know that of these three presidents that were bitter toward Daniel, maybe one of them wasn't really doing his job like he could have? And so here Daniel is managing all of that with such a spirit that they just hate him because he keeps going up the ladder. And so this jealousy that's innate in man, that we don't like to see somebody else get more than we have, it's just in us. Now, folks, that's the flesh. And when the flesh gets into your spirit, it's never good. And all of us have to avoid that. It got into Naomi. Circumstances turned her spirit to a negative spirit, to a critical spirit, to a bitter spirit. Now, I think this is the process. You got negative, which they just see negative things. They don't see a lot of positive, but they can see everything wrong. Then you got critical. They look for things that are wrong. They're actively trying to point out the flaws in everybody and everything. And then you got over here, you got bitter. They just not only look for things, but they just don't like anybody. They're just hurt, okay? To help this person get over here, only the Holy Spirit can do that. But if they're around Daniel's and Joseph's, they can get there. And you know what? The light only shines through these kinds of people. It's dim over here. The other night, I was going outside, and I had bought Janet a flashlight, I don't know, two or three years ago. That was the kind you plugged in with a USB cable, and so she didn't have to worry about, keeping up with batteries. And once the battery gets real low, the light gets dim. And so it had been up there in our house and had been charging probably a year and a half, 2 years. And so I said, I got to go outside real quick. I was going to turn the water off on the sprinklers. And so I got the flashlight and go out there. And I turned on, and it's just a little dim light. I said, my thought was, what good is this flashlight? I'm afraid the Lord looks at me when I take a dim view, a critical view, or a little bit negative, or get a little bit bitter. And he says, what good is Pittman? So I want to be used of the Lord. I've got to fix this. Naomi never had the intention of fixing it, but Ruth changed her spirit. And folks, that's what I want to talk to you about today, that you could change someone's spirit. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 4. The first part of changing someone's spirit is in verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. That's number one. You and I have tried our best to eliminate the faults that are in our life. Now, listen, all of us have them. All of us have faults. But the closer we get to Christ, the more he forgives those faults and helps us change those faults. They're still there, but by the Holy Spirit's power and memorizing God's word, we can keep those in check so that nobody sees them but us. That's what the Lord wants. That's reading he said in Matthew chapter 5 that you'd do your good works so that your good works can shine and people can see Christ in you. Now, that's the only way to get there is through God's word, and many times it starts with an example. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Be an example of the light. Be an example of a positive spirit. Now, I want you to see, here's Daniel. Now, we can look at it from Daniel's point of view if he was a critically spirited person. He says, look, here I am doing what's right, and all they do is criticize me. It's just like, they're just always after me. I don't know what the deal is. That could have been his spirit. And he could have complained to the king. He could have complained to other people. And he would have lost his excellent spirit. Notice number 2 in here. Verse 4 says, nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. That's number 2. Okay? Number 1, you've got to eliminate those faults that we have. Now, somebody tell me, I want to take just a minute. Tell me some things that would ruin the testimony of an excellent spirit. Can somebody tell me? Things that you would look at someone that say, you know, if a person did this, they wouldn't have an excellent spirit in the eyes of others. What is something like that? Give me that. An excellent spirit. What is one thing? Brother Don? Cursing. Okay. If they just let a few words slip out at work, well, that guy doesn't have the right spirit. That doesn't have the right attitude. Okay, something else. And how many have heard that at work? Raise your hand. Let me see it. You've heard that. Okay? It's all over the place. All right? But name something else. Now, let's name a characteristic about a person. Okay? Something that would change. Floyd? Integrity. What's that? Integrity. Integrity. Okay? Because Daniel had integrity, he wouldn't fudge the books to let one of these 120 princes off the hook. So I'm sure they hated him for it. Daniel, here's the money, but you know I had to, my chariot broke down and I had to bring it over, so I took 3 pence out of the taxes just to fix the chariot, and it's a government chariot anyway. And Daniel says, no, you need to come up with the 3 pence. It's important. Take it out of a fund in your country, but don't take it out of the king's money. Why does he always have to be right to every penny? I can remember when my mother was come to Christmas. If she got me $112.21 of gifts, she got my brother $112.21 of gifts. And I said, Mom, it doesn't matter if he gets a little bit more. It's okay. No, it has to be right. That's integrity. It doesn't have to be there, but you don't have to have a spirit of meanness to have integrity. I heard someone the other day that said, when I was at work, I just noticed a lot of people would party and I'd be the designated person to drive. They just would have me do this or that. Integrity. They know you. Now, name something else. I've got integrity. I've got the right words. Something else about a person that would alter or you could lose your excellent spirit with. Kathy? What's that?
Inconsistent.
Yep. Okay, that goes to the word faithful. It is up and down. Daniel comes in one morning and he's in a cheerful spirit the next morning. Hey, what's wrong, Daniel? I don't know. I just don't feel good today. Daniel was always the same. Notice the wording in verse 4, for as much as he was faithful, he was consistent. And folks, that's one of the key ingredients to an excellent spirit. Always upbeat. You don't have to be giddy, but to be always smiling or cheerful. Now, that's not easy. But that's one of the things that I noticed about Susan before she died, was she always seemed to have a pleasant spirit. And the doctors actually came up to me and noticed it. So my point is, living or dying, we can have an excellent spirit. Daniel here had an excellent spirit, and he's thrown into the lion's den. And you'll notice, I want to give you this one, even though it is not listed, but I want you to see kind of it. Notice, if you would, in verse number 20. Kathy brought up consistency. Well, notice this in verse number 20. And when he came to the den, this is Daniel's been thrown in the lion's den, and the king comes to the lion's den the next morning, and he's fearful that Daniel's been eaten alive. And so he says, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. Now, that alone tells me he was faithful. He was consistent in his dedication to the Lord. He would spend time with the Lord in prayer. We know that he did. He prayed three times a day, and they knew they could catch him during one of those prayer times. That's the way they caught Daniel, because of his faithfulness. Well, notice what he says, servant of the living God. It is now changed where Daniel is not this mighty great servant, this president of all presidents. Now he's a servant of the living God. That's what we want. We want it to be that the world looks at us and says, wow, he loves the Lord. He believes a great God. That's what we want. Because then when people have hard times, they turn to people that, wow, I wonder if his God could help me. That's what's missing in our society. Because us as Christians, we go to work and we act and look like everybody else. We're to stand out. Daniel stood out because of this excellent spirit. Now, an excellent spirit is a countenance that's cheerful. It's a spirit that is consistent. He does the same things regularly, but I think it's a cheerfulness. There is an upbeat in his attitude that everybody notices. How many of you notice somebody that is consistently upbeat? Raise your hand. How many of you notice that? Okay. You see it and you notice it. And if I were to say, name that person, you can name that person. Okay. They're just fun to be around. Okay. Now, then there is this next step, and you'll notice verse number 20, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God. They know we have a great God, and they know he's ours. Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Now, I believe one of the reasons Daniel was spared is because Daniel trusted the Lord. Lord, I can't fix everything, And Lord, when I get into trouble because I've been doing right, there was a man in our church that called me, I guess probably 4 or 5 months ago. He said, Pastor, I'm being investigated because there's some staff that are under me. He's one of the owners of the company. He said, there's some staff underneath me that just not working hard. And I kind of got on to them, and they didn't like it. And so they started saying that I was kind of promiscuous with the women, the girls that are there. He said, Pastor, I've never done anything. He said, I keep my distance. I'm very careful. And so I told him, I said, look, you just let the Lord defend you. You trust the Lord. Keep doing what's right. Keep that pleasant spirit. Don't change it. Don't let pressure change you. Okay, all right. And so I prayed with him, and then he calls me, I don't know, a couple of weeks later. He said, Pastor, you'll never believe what the Lord did. I said, what's that? He said, the other partners investigated me, and they said, call me in, and said, you've done everything right. We're proud of you. There's nothing against your name. But these other people, we're going to let this one go. We're going to change this one. We're going to do this, and we're going to do that because you were right. And I know, I can see they've been saying things about you, and we're really sorry for that, but we're going to stand up for you. But they had put him on executive leave while they studied it out. So he sort of was like in the lion's den for a little while. Well, what's going to happen to me? You know, am I going to lose my job? Are they going to kick me out as a partner? And then all of a sudden, things completely turned around. How many of you, when we were praying for Brian Crane, how many remember Brian Crane years ago? A particular senator got after him. He was one of the ones that guarded the president's Secret Service. And one of the senators got angry at him. And he doesn't know why, except that he just tried to do what was right. And that senator attacked him and said, I'm going to get him out of the government. And a year, I remember Brian came up to one time. He said, Pastor, he says, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how to take care of my family. He said, I called Alabama, and I can't even get a dog catcher's job because this follows me. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, Brian, look, can you change it? Well, not at this point. Then just keep doing what's right. It ended up, he got not only exonerated, he got a raise, a bonus, and a commendation for being so consistently faithful. And he says, I'm in a state of shock. And the guy that reported him has been retired. He said, I don't know how the Lord did that, because right wins. You just have to be faithful. And I look at Daniel, it is that spirit that causes people to want you to win. That spirit causes people to want you to succeed. Now, underlings, people looking up at you and feeling your competition, that's different. But people from the outside, I don't understand. I love that guy. I love that lady because that spirit is infectious. Now, notice if you would in verse number 22. My God hath sent his angels and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. Now watch this. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. Now, innocency, this is an Aramaic word. It's not Hebrew, it's not Greek, but it means to be translucent. It means to be clear. You can see right through them. There is nothing hidden. In other words, no private agenda. And he said, because God saw innocence in me. Folks, an excellent spirit, a part of that on the inside that people cannot see is innocence. You've got to be clear before the Lord. Now, we can't be perfect, but we can be confessed, and God considers us clear. Now, you and I in this room, innocency was, he said, that's the reason that God spared Daniel. It's because he looked at him and says, he's done nothing wrong. I'm going to protect him. And that's God's way. The king said, is he able? And I think all of us would sometimes see a problem and say, can God do this? Now, there's a difference between can and believe he will. That's called trust. And everybody in this room's got to learn to trust the Lord. my exam came back, and I've got this bad thing with my body, and I know the Lord can cure it, but I don't know if he will. Trust. This is an issue in my family, and I know the Lord can change this, but I don't know if he will. God always wants things to be right. God always wants marriages to be restored. God always wants brothers and sister relationships to be sweet. God always wants a workplace to be pleasant. That is God's plan, because God wants to bless people. Do you know God wants to bless Christians as well as sinners? Because he loves us all. If you love somebody, you want to be good to them. Now, God has a personal limitation on being good to sinners as much as he is to saints. There's just something about us if we know Christ as Savior. He said, I'm going to bless you if you're innocent. And so the key for us is this excellent spirit. It comes from an innocent heart. You can't have a dirty heart and be cheerful all the time. You're going to slip up. You can't be faithful all the time with a dirty heart. The first thing that has to happen is you got to have an innocence in your heart. That is, your conscience does not condemn you for anything you've said or done. Your conscience is clear. Everybody in this room, you've got to have that. And your trust will grow in the Lord as you see him do things in your life. Now, notice some of the results, the requirements of an excellent spirit are: there is this innocence that's in the heart. There is a consistency of faithfulness. There is a dedication to doing something. And there's a cheerfulness in the heart and in the spirit. How many of you call the church office from time to time? Anybody here call the church office? What is it like when you call the church office and somebody answers the phone? Can somebody tell me? Yes, ma'am?
It's like a ray of sunshine.
It's like a ray of sunshine. Do you want to know who that is? It's Melina Stryker. Now, she's not here today. She would be underneath the pew if she were here today. I just mentioned her name. But she is a ray of sunshine. And when we hired her, I said, Melina, you have such a cheerful spirit. I want that in our school when somebody calls. I want you to be cheerful and upbeat. Sometimes somebody calls and says, you know, I don't know, life is not worth living. Could I talk with the pastor? Well, you don't want somebody to answer the phone. Yeah, this is Temple Baptist. What can I help you with? I'm suicidal. I don't know how to, I'm having a hard day. Is there someone I could talk to? Yeah, hang on a minute. We don't want that. We want somebody, when they pick up the phone, it's like, wow, maybe today's not the day to kill myself. I don't know. That lady is so cheerful and upbeat. I don't know. I mean, that's the way Melina answers the phone. And it's not sometimes. It is every time. Sometimes I'll just pick up the phone and call, just hear her say, hello, Temple Baptist Church, may I help you? I mean, just so bubbly and cheerful. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Let me see it. Okay? You'll see it. That's just her. And you know what? That was Daniel. There was that pleasantness, that joyfulness, but it comes from an innocent heart. It comes from a determination to be faithful, to always do the right thing. And folks, all of us in this room, now, God does work with personalities. But the Holy Spirit takes human personalities and makes them spiritual. That's what I want you to understand. That's what God did for Naomi through Ruth. And that's what God did for Darius through Daniel. Look down, if you would, verse number 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. You know why he did that? Because he was a king over all the earth. The Medes and Persians had a worldwide kingdom. Everybody was under their domain. And notice he says, peace be multiplied unto you. So I want everybody to be happy. Well, notice this. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Folks, that's our goal. Our goal is that excellent spirit. It's not so that people say, wow, Melina, she answers the phone cheerfully. That's not her goal. Her goal is to present a great God. And my goal is to present a great God. And so that's the reason why that excellent spirit is so critical for all of us. It just so happens God so richly blesses an excellent spirit that Daniel goes from a slave all the way to the prime minister because of that spirit. Integrity, faithfulness, consistency, innocence before God. And you'll notice, if you would, again, I go back, verse 22, my God hath sent his angels and hath shut the lion's mouth. I like this part. I don't know if you noticed it. God had sent his angel, one, to shut the lion's, plural, mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as innocency before him, innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. He's saying, I'm innocent before the Lord, and king, I've done you no hurt. You've gotten every penny of taxes that you deserved. And I want you to know that, king. I don't know if you caught that. Everybody catch what it just said? Okay. It said he was innocent before God, but notice what it says. Also, in him before him, innocency was found, and also before thee. So God wants you and I to be innocent toward the people we work for. Innocent before thee. He said, it's not just innocent before God. If you're innocent before God, you can't take money from somebody else. And so, you know, as things, you burn principles into your heart. Folks, learn to live by principle. Learn that you do things because they're right. Learn to get it up at a certain time and read your Bible and talk with the Lord. Learn to be like Daniel. You'll notice, if you would, and I'll close with this, verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and you know there was a writing sign that no one could pray for 30 days. Now this is a very smart, it was a very smart and I guess you would say subtle law that these presidents got passed that flattered the king, that said nobody can pray to any other god but Darius. They considered him a king for 30 days. Now, at the first, that looks like, wow, that's very honoring to our king. But they did it subtly. They weren't innocent, knowing Daniel had a greater king, his God. Now, Darius didn't think about it. He was so flattered about it. And notice, if you would, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day. So Daniel prayed not just in the morning. He prayed three times a day. And they knew it, so that's when they listened. Watch. Verse number 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication for his God. They assembled. They knew he was going to be praying at his house. So today, we want to be faithful and consistent, but we have to remember that our faithfulness and consistency does make a difference in the eyes of the world. And God will bless you. You want the blessings of God. You don't want to take blessings. You don't want to just say, I've earned this. Number one, nobody really has earned anything. Because we use God's air and the body God's given to us, we ought to be grateful for everything we earned. Yes, we work hard, but God gives us the blessings that we have. So today, let an excellent spirit, innocency from within and without at work and home, make an eternal difference in the lives of people around you. Father, I thank you so much for Daniel, perhaps my favorite Bible character, Lord. And I look forward to meeting him in heaven and telling him he was a blessing to me. Lord, there's no black marks in his life. I know he was a sinner, but Lord, they were so minor, you chose never to include a one. And I pray that you'd help us to be like Daniel from this day forward, because every page of tomorrow is clean. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed this morning. Got about 20 minutes, a little bit less. Be sure and greet somebody here in the room. Let them know you're glad to have them. It's great to have you today. May the Lord bless you for coming.